Lichvo Yomirshalayim, talk a little bit about what is the special, unique characteristic of Yerushalayim. So, just as a general background, I guess, let's just do a little brief history of Yerushalayim, right? What important historical events took place in Yerushalayim?
In this day, which point in time?
What?
Beis
Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash was in Yerushalayim, good, yeah?
First time it's mentioned.
Back?
Adam.
Huh?
Adam
Rishon was created in Yerushalayim.
Akedah.
Right? The Akedah is Yitzchak.
Melech Shalim.
Melech Shalim, good.
All the kings are buried in Yerushalayim.
Okay. Yeah.
Shlomo builds the...
Right, both Beis Hamikdash, okay. The dream of the Sulam of Yaakov Avinu, okay, and going all the way back, the Midrashim say that the world was created starting with the Evan Shasia, right, and the Evan Shasia is the Makom Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Okay, so really it starts from day one, the formation of the Evan Shasia. Day six, Adam Arishon. In the times of Avraham Avinu, we have Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalem. Yitzchak, we have the Akedah. Yaakov, we have the Sulam. And then on into more modern history of the Bate Mikdash, etc. Okay. So now, the question is, can we be omed on a central yesod? What is the essence of Yerushalayim that makes it such an important part of Jewish history? So there's a I don't know exactly what to say. There's a common name that Yerushalayim is referred to as Jerusalem, the city of peace. If you buy your souvenirs in the souvenir shops, whatever, they have these, right? That's a standard pitgam. They call it Yerushalayim, the city of peace.
It's in the name.
So what? So Pashtas, that seems like a bad joke, right? Yerushalayim is like the most fought over piece of real estate in the world. Historically, it's been conquered by force over 20 times. That's the statistics, right? So it's a very it's a place of conflict and fighting. What does it mean that it's called the city of peace? So L'chora, the Makor in Torah for this idea of Yerushalayim being Ir Shalom, right? The city of peace translates the Ir Shel Shalom. So that it starts certainly with Malkut Tzedek, Melech Shalem. We're going to have to see the connection between Shalem, completion, and Shalom, peace. We have to see how those two words are related. And in this Kapitel in Tehillim, in the Shir HaMaalos, the Pasuk talks about Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, talks about looking after the peace of Yerushalayim, talks about Yerusha Chubra Yachta, the connection. We'll see how that relates to Shalem. Okay, so the starting point is to understand what Shalom means. What is peace? So, like I said, if you think of peace as lack of conflict, so then certainly there's no shaychus to Yerushalayim. It's a place where there's lots of conflict. So, what does it mean? Yerushal Shalom. What is Shalom? So the Gemara says that there are three simanim, that if you see these simanim in a dream, that it's a sign that you're going to have shalom, you're going to have peace. Okay, these three simanim are the river, the kettle, and the bird. I actually forgot the Hebrew terms that the Gemara uses. This is famous from Rav Feldman's book by that title, The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. Okay, so in his first chapter over there, he discusses this chazal, and he explains what this means, that those three things, the river, the kettle, and the bird, are the three simanim that are merames to this inyan of shalom. So what he explains is that like we said, that Shalom is a lashon of shlemus. Peace means not lack of hostility, but peace means that everyone is working together for the common good. Okay, you're creating shlemus. You're creating a completion by working together in harmony. That's what real shalom is. Okay, it's not a passive lack of hostility. It's an active working together to help each other and to be mashlim, to each one to fill in what the other one needs to reach shlemus. So that's what these three symbols represent, this idea of shalom. So a river was the ancient form of commerce. Okay? A river would be how you would transfer goods back and forth from one city to another city. Okay, so if one city had lots of lumber, but they didn't have enough grain to eat, so they would ship their lumber downstream and they would get the payment in wheat or whatever it was that they needed. Okay, so the river as a symbol, as the artery of commerce, represents this idea that you can have shalom, you can have peace between different cities, different countries, is expressed by the fact that each one, they have trade treaties, right? They have treaties between them that each one supplies the other one with what it's lacking. Okay, that's level one shlemus. Level one shalom is each one exchanging what you need for what I need. Then Rufeldman explains this this chazal that it progresses to a higher level. There's a higher level of shalom of a kettle. A kettle takes fire and water, and fire and water are usually in conflict, right? The water usually extinguishes the fire. But by putting the water inside a kettle, so you now enable the two to work in unison. Because by putting the water in a kettle, now you can apply the fire to the water and you can boil your water. Okay, so here we have a situation of shalom, of the two entities coming together and creating a shlemus that each one couldn't have achieved on their own. But now they're doing it not from a distance, not just by I'll give you something, you give me something back. They're doing it actually by working together. The kettle is actually uniting. It's bringing right up next to each other, the fire next to the water, and harnessing that koach to unite the kohos of fire and water. Then he brings that a bird is, on the one hand, a land animal that can jump around on the ground. He has feet that can walk and move around. And he also has wings to fly. So he functions in two different realms, on the land and in the air. And that is a bechina of shlemus, that each one has contributed something that the other one is lacking. But here, it's actually been melded into one entity. It's not like the kettle, that there's still fire and water, I'm just helping them to work together. Here they've actually become joined together as one entity, that the two kohos of the land and the air animals are united completely to the point where they become one single entity. Okay, so obviously Rav Emanuel Feldman takes this. I'm sorry, not Rav Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael. So Rav Feldman takes this in the direction of Shalom Bayis, right? This is the river of the kettle and the bird. This is his sefer on Shalom Bayis. So he's describing that this is what Shalom Bayis means. It means not a lack of hostility, but it means the more and more unified that the husband and wife get, the more that they're able to be mashlim each other by uniting into one unified entity that has all of the milas of each of the spouses. Okay, that's how it applies to Shalom Bayis. So, but what we see is that that's the yisod of Shalom. The yisod of Shalom is Milashon Shlemus, that Shalom means working together in unison, that each one is filling in whatever the other one is lacking, and creating a more powerful entity that's united. Now, we see this on many different levels. The fact that Yerushalayim is the place of Shlemus is expressed throughout the gamut of different aspects. The most basic practical aspect is the location of Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim is centrally located on all of the ancient trade routes. All trade that was going back and forth from Europe to Asia to Africa, right? Those the three continents that were interacting with each other, that all of the main trade routes ran through Yerushalayim. That was the central point that all of the different cultures interacted. So all of the trade, just like the river, right, creates Shalom because it's the way in which each of the different cities or countries can exchange things with each other. So Yerushalayim was the center of all the trade routes. It was the exchange of culture, of goods, of everything that went on in the ancient world. That's the most posh. On a more Pnimi level, it was the unifying force of Klal Yisrael, right? The Aliyah L'Regel is when you took each of the separate Shvatim, and they all came together in the Regel, and now was the time that there was an interaction between the Shvatim that they would be able to exchange ideas, cultures, goods, right? All the to create a unified Klal Yisrael was accomplished through the Aliyah L'Regel. Besides the Ruchnius aspects, there was a practical aspect of being a place where all of Klal Yisrael would come together and become one. The Malbim on this Perek in Tehillim, the Malbim explains, he gives a mashal, he says it's like the heart that connects all the Eivarim. That each of the Eivarim of the goof, each of the limbs, is just one independent limb, and they work together to create a Shlemus, right? The Shlemus of a person, all the different things that a person can do is because he has all of these different limbs working together in unison. So he says that the heart is the force that unifies all the different limbs, and he equates Yerushalayim to having that role of being the heart of Klal Yisrael that unites the different members of Klal Yisrael. Now, the ultimate Shlemus then is going to be if we can bring together the most disparate elements, the things that seem the furthest apart, if we can get them to work together in unison, that's the ultimate level of Shalom. And that is the Bechina of unifying the physical and spiritual. Right? Yerushalayim is the place where the physical world and the spiritual world are connected. Right? That's the Lashon of Yaakov Avinu by the Sulam, by the dream of the Sulam, says that this is the Shar HaShamayim. What's the Shar? The Shar is the gateway. The gate is where all traffic passes through, right? The conduit, the connecting place between Shamayim Aretz is Yerushalayim. So that is the ultimate, the Makom of Shalom. Right, so there's a Yerushalayim Shalmala that's Mechuven Keneged Yerushalayim Shalmata. This is the place where the two worlds connect. And that's the ultimate koach of Shalom of Yerushalayim. And with the center of that being in the Makom HaMikdash, that's where the ultimate connecting point of Shemayim Va'aretz. Okay, so now if we go back and we look at the different historical events that we talked about in Yerushalayim, so we said that it all started with the Eben HaShisiyah. Okay, in other words, the Brias HaOlam was an act of going from a purely spiritual world to creating a physical world. Okay, so where does that act of creation take effect? At the Eben HaShisiyah, the Makom of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, that is the place where the beginning of the physical world starts to form, because that is where the expression of the spiritual into the physical is capable of taking effect. Okay? That's why Adam HaRishon needed to be created in the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, because that the whole unique aspect of Adam, of mankind, is the ability to connect physical and spiritual. Right? Hashem took a physical goof and he breathed into it a neshama. So he made man this connection between physical and spiritual. Where is that connection made? In Yerushalayim. Right? Yerushalayim is where the physical and spiritual connect. So that initial connection of Adam being a connection of physical and spiritual had to happen in Yerushalayim, because that is the Shaar Shamayim. That is the place where the physical and spiritual interact. Okay, then following throughout the whole centrality of Yerushalayim, then, is that it's the Makom of Avodah. That's the place where we offer Karbanos. That's where our tefillahs go through Yerushalayim, right? Even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, V'yispalu elecha derech artzam. Our tefillahs are still through Yerushalayim. That's why it's Brahma Halacha, that we dive in towards Yerushalayim and towards the Kodesh Kadashim. We focus towards the Shaar Shamayim. That's the place of connection. So that's where all avoda, all interaction with Hashem, goes through Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash. Now, an interesting aspect of Yerushalayim is that if we think about what gives Yerushalayim this ability to connect things, how does it work? How is Yerushalayim the place that brings Shalom? So, what is the yesod of creating unity? The yesod of unity, let's say that you have a dispute, right? If you have a dispute between two countries, two parties, whatever it is, so common wisdom, how are you going to settle the dispute? You have to bring a moderator. You have to bring in a third party. You can't just have the two fighting parties sit down in a room and beat each other up, right? You're never going to solve the problem that way. Every attempt at making peace always involves bringing in a third party to moderate the situation. Okay? How does that work? Because the two parties that are having the dispute, they don't see eye to eye. Right? Each one can't relate to the other one. They're on two different ends of the spectrum. So what they need then is somebody who can see both sides of the picture. Somebody who's neutral, who's in between, who's shyeth to this side and he's shyeth to that side. Right? That's why they always talk that it has to be like an honest broker, a fair. It has to be a fair intermediary. It has to be somebody who's connected and can relate to both sides of the dispute. That's the person who's capable of moderating a peace agreement. So the yesod of making shalom is having aspects that relate to both sides. So that's the koach of Yerushalayim. The koach of Yerushalayim is that it has in itself a side of gashmias. It's a physical place, but Yerushalayim itself has connections to Ruchnias, and therefore it's the makom of the chibur where you can connect the physical world and the spiritual. Okay, so an interesting expression of this koach of Yerushalayim is that if you had to define what defines the difference between something physical and something spiritual, Okay, nice philosophical question. You can think of your own answers afterwards, but I think a legitimate philosophical answer to that question is that something physical is something that is bound by space. Something that takes up space, something that's limited to a particular space, that's something physical. Something spiritual is something that isn't bounded or limited by space. Okay, so if we take that definition, so it's interesting, if we look at Yerushalayim, even though Yerushalayim is a physical place, but we see that the normal rules of space don't exactly apply in Yerushalayim. Right? So the Chazal say there's actually three levels of this space warp that goes on. First, the Gemara says that by Aliyah L'Regel, even though Klal Yisrael would come, all the Shvatim from all over Eretz Yisrael would come to Yerushalayim, the Gemara says nobody ever said Sar Li Amakum. Nobody ever felt that there wasn't enough space in Yerushalayim. It expanded to fit the number of Olei Regalim. So we see that the normal limitations of space don't exactly apply in Yerushalayim. So that's coming from this aspect that Yerushalayim is this connecting place. It's physical, but it's also spiritual. It has a shaychus to the spiritual realm, and therefore the normal rules of physicality don't govern in Yerushalayim. Okay, the further you come towards this epicenter of connection, in the Beis HaMikdash, it says that they would stand right next to each other, and then when they would bow down, everyone would have his own Dalet Amos. Okay, so again, we see this space warp that Dafka, the characteristic of taking up physical space, doesn't have the same meaning in Yerushalayim. And that's what there were, and then in the Kodesh Kodashim, there was this extra consonance of the cheshbonos of the Kodesh Kodashim. It says that the Aron wasn't Toves Makomo, that the Aron didn't take up the normal space that it should have fit in. So we see this as you get closer and closer, the nais, it's not so much a nais, just the physical characteristic, that the designation of physical space became more and more open, fluid, right? Because we're moving towards this connecting area where it's not entirely physical, it has this spiritual dimension, and therefore it serves as the connecting place that connects between the physical and spiritual. Okay, now based on this understanding of what the significance of Yerushalayim was, we can explain an interesting pshat in a very difficult chazal, that the Gemara says that when Titus came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it says that he slashed through the parochas and blood came out. And the Gemara says that Titus thought that he had killed himself, which the Mefarshim explain is a euphemism to say that he thought he had killed God. Okay, so what does that mean? How do you kill God, right? So first of all, what was the nais? What's the significance? Why did Hashem make this nais that the parochas bled, right? And what kind of a mistake was this that he thought, if he believes in God, so how does he think you can kill God? Any definition you say of God, right, is a definition of an entity that can't be killed. So what does that mean? He believed that there was a God, but he killed him? What did he think happened exactly? So what exactly is Misa? Right? We just defined that the life of Adam is the connection of physical and spiritual, right? Hashem breathes the neshama of Ruchnius into the physical guf. So when Titus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, So what is death then? Death of a person is the separation of the goof, right? The goof goes back to the earth where it came from, and then the neshama goes to the Elyonim where it came from, right? That's what death is. It's the separation of the goof and the neshama. So based on that, we can understand that what was Titus saying? What was the nais of the blood? The blood was showing that it looked like Ki'ilu, Chas V'Shalom, Ki'ilu, there was a death going on in the sense of the physical and spiritual worlds separating. That the Beis Hamikdash had served as this Makom Avoda, the place where we brought our Karbanos. It was the place where we had this connection between the physical and spiritual. So when that is being destroyed, it seems superficially like the connection between the physical and spiritual is being severed. Okay? So that was the mistake that teachers made, that he thought he killed God. What does it mean he thought he killed God? He thought he had separated the spiritual from the physical. But in reality, the Gemara tells us that that was a mistake. That it wasn't really a death. It wasn't really a separation of Guf and Neshama. That Yerushalayim still serves as that connecting point, right? We still have the koach of Yisbal Derech Arz, and we can still daven to Hashem through Yerushalayim because Hashem is still involved in the physical world. Hashem is still present, is still connected. So the outward appearance that we saw, the Giloy Shechina, where we saw the Ruach Nias being expressed in the physical world, was lost in the Korban HaBayis, but certainly that connection was never really broken, and Yerushalayim still has within it that special koach of being the connecting place, and there that's why it is still a makom of kedusha, and we still daven from all around the world towards Yerushalayim, expressing this awareness that it still is this Shaar HaShemayim. It is still the place where we have this ability to connect the physical and spiritual realms.